The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, next, a biotech company that aims to resurrect lost creatures has hatched live chicks in an artificial environment. I'm joined by Andrew Pask, who's Chief Biology Officer with Colossal. Andrew, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you with us. So will you explain the term de-extinction to me?
Yeah, it is just like it sounds. It is the process of bringing back extinct animals.
Why? Why would anybody want to do this?
Well, the species that we're focused on at Colossal are ones that played critically important roles in ecosystems. They were driven to extinction by us, by humans. And we know that by bringing them back, it's not just, you know, undoing a wrong that we did, but also will stabilize those ecosystems so they can support, you know, hundreds of other species within them from also going extinct.
Some critics, though, argue that you're potentially introducing animals into an environment where they are not suited to now, and that that may present its own difficulties for the species currently living on Earth.
Yeah, I think, you know, all the ones that we're bringing back currently are species that lived in more contemporary times, so within the last few hundred years. And so for those, the environments really haven't changed that much. In fact, they've become degraded because of the absence of those animals. So putting them back into the landscapes will actually help repair a lot of the damage, not only to the animals, but also the plants and the landscape itself.
Talk to me about this artificial egg that hatched live chicks. In layman's terms, how did that work?
Yeah, so this has been a major breakthrough for us. So we're working on a couple of extinct bird species, one of them being the dodo and the other one being the moa, which is a 3 metre tall bird species from New Zealand. So the biggest bird that ever lived on Earth. And in order to do a lot of this work, we have to be able to do things like genetic manipulation of bird embryos. And that's really challenging because they develop inside an eggshell, which makes it really difficult. And so what we've done is engineer this artificial egg, which really just enables them to develop exactly as they would inside the shell itself. But in a vessel that's really accessible, we can actually see them going through the entire process of development. And we can start to do real conservation biology now on birds for the first time, which has been something that's been lacking for a long time.
Can it be considered, though, a truly artificial egg? Because some people have said that it lacked the components to fit into that category. Is that how you would describe it, as an artificial egg?
Yeah, definitely. It's a fully artificial egg. I mean, this is a, you know, a plastic-made structure that we then have a special membrane that sits on the inside, which enables the gas exchange. The chicken still lays the egg for us, right? So we still get the chicken to lay the egg, but soon after laying, we take that egg and then we will actually break it open and place it into this artificial device. And from there, we can go through the entire rest of the 3 weeks that a normal chick would take to develop, right up until the point when it hatches out of the artificial egg. And you've got a healthy, living little chick.
And you're working on recreating the woolly mammoth as well, but I believe that you're starting by creating hairy mice. Is that right?
Yeah, we made the woolly mice. Obviously, it's very hard to do genetics on elephants or mammoths. If you want to try and make, you know, a few edits and see what happens, it's almost impossible to do something in an animal of that scale. But we're very good at doing genetic manipulations in mice. They're really sort of the workhorse for us to understand how our genes regulate the way that we look. And so a lot of the genes that we identified that were important for making the woolly mammoth woolly, we were able to engineer into mice and to show that we could make a little orange woolly mouse that has that same sort of long, shaggy hair that you would see on a woolly mammoth. But that lets us know that we're on the right path to making the right edits when we come to engineering our woolly mammoth.
That's very far away from creating a woolly mammoth, isn't it? A woolly mouse.
Yeah, well, it's all about understanding how the bits of our DNA actually change the way we look. And that's something we still don't understand very, very well. But we're using all of these tools now to really sort of unpack exactly how those mechanisms work so we can engineer these species.
Yeah, Vincent Lynch is an evolutionary biologist at the University of Buffalo. And he was asked to look at these claims that you might be able to make the moa, the 3 metre bird that you described there. He says that what you're doing is making a genetically modified bird, not a moa.
Yeah, well, I think if you make all of the edits that you would need to recreate that exact moa genome. So that's the process we're working on at the moment, is sequencing every single bit of the DNA code of how to build a moa. And then using that, we identify its closest living relative. And then we make all of those edits. We are re-engineering that moa genome, but the end result is that you have a moa. You will have that animal's DNA back as if it was when that species roamed the earth. And so, yeah, I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue at that point that we haven't actually recreated that animal.
Mm-hmm. But you feel that you're moving closer to that point.
Absolutely. Every day, I think, you know, we're able to make the huge amounts of edits now, more than I think, you know, has ever been reported before in terms of doing genetic engineering. These technologies now of being able to do this genetic engineering at mass and bringing back lost species, or even just re-engineering lost genetics into living animals that are on the brink of extinction, are things that we really have to think about embracing now as a planet. We have pushed our species now beyond the point of repair. We're in the middle of the mass sixth extinction. We're seeing animals go extinct at a rate that's never before been reported on our planet. And we just simply have to embrace these new technologies if we want to build really healthy, resilient ecosystems and help our planet survive.
Yeah, I suppose, Andrew, you could have people who are looking at this and saying to themselves, well, if they can rebuild an animal that is close to extinction or extinct, that means we can do what we want to our natural environment. It won't matter because these guys can fix it. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of studies now looking exactly into that. How has this changed the perception of extinction? But I think every single bit of research that's been done so far has shown that this has brought a lot more awareness of extinction and exactly why we don't want to let animals go extinct, why we need each and every one to help build these really resilient ecosystems, and also how long and difficult it is to do these de-extinction projects. You know, the preference is still always to save a species from going extinct rather than de-extinct it. And so we work on both of those aspects in Colossal. We're creating biobanks. We're freezing down living tissues from animals to make sure that we don't lose any other species, and we certainly don't have to re-engineer them again.
So do you see yourself as a conservationist then alongside this work?
Absolutely. I mean, de-extinction science is about conservation. The reason we're wanting to bring these animals back is to help stabilize the ecosystems they once lived in. And every single bit of technology that we've developed along the pathway to bringing back a species, we can immediately use for conservation benefits. And we're doing that right now. So we're saving species with the genetic engineering. We're saving them with the biobanking and our new ability to make stem cells across a whole range of species. These are all really important technologies that we need to develop that are happening because of de-extinction science.
Yeah, you know, this sometimes brings to mind, doesn't it, when you think about it, a particular Hollywood movie where the dinosaurs were brought back and that didn't go very well. I mean, are there animals or creatures that are a no-go area for you in this work?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no DNA left in dinosaur bones. They went extinct, you know, 60 million years ago. So all of that, you know, you can't go back that far. You can only go back to more contemporary extinction events. And also, you know, obviously in that movie, they were bringing back a big animal that would eat people and lived 60 million years ago. And the planet has changed a lot since then. For something like the Tasmanian tiger and, you know, some of the other species we've worked on, they've only been extinct for 100 years or not so much longer than that. The environment's still intact and there is someone to put them back into. And so a very different scenario to Jurassic Park, but similar technology and something we really need to build a healthy planet.
It is fascinating, Andrew, and thank you for telling us about it. Andrew Pask, their chief biology officer with a company called Colossal. What's your view? WhatsApp us 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.